6, we'll sing all 3 verses, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. As we stand. In the congregation first. Anybody have a prayer request? Anyone? Choir? Anyone in the choir? All right. Brother Bill, will you lead us in prayer today? Amen. You may be seated. Pray for the choir, please.
Thank you.
Tell you, I like the old songs, and nobody likes to do the old songs anymore, but I tell you, I do. In my mind, I go back and remember that song, Touring That City. Two songs I remember growing up with as a young Christian that made an impression on me, Touring That City and Hallelujah Square. And those are two great old songs. I appreciate the choir taking care of that today. Let's take our hymn book. Let's turn to 129 for our fellowship song, At the Cross. Let's sing the first and the second. Take some time to fellowship and come back on the last as we stand. 129. Other than the Lord today. Ready? Thank you. seated. Well, if you've got anything that you want to share today, as far as the building fund offering, the jug offering, you want to go ahead and get that out.
Y'all feel free to sing along if you want to. For making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue, thank you, Lord. For the sparrow that sings, that makes sweet melody, for rivers that flow, the rain and the snow, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. For my home and family, for life's joys that you've given me, for shoes on my feet, I've had plenty to eat. Thank you, Lord. And for my church where I worship and pray, and for the freedom that I have today, sweet Spirit, I feel your presence so real. Thank you, Lord. for being a friend so dear, for giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me on the cross of Calvary, for taking my place, for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. Y'all sing with me. I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord.
Can I just be just a tad bit rude? Don't you have anything to thank him for? You don't act like it. I'm going to tell you something. It's rough. We know it's rough. But it could be rougher. Some of you are struggling in some of the darkest waters you've ever been. But it could be worse. We all ought to have our hands raised in praise to the Lord, because if we realize, if we truly realized how good God's been, we would bathe our pillow in tears because of the goodness of God. I don't like the way the country's going, but I got news for you. It could be worse. It could be worse. People are struggling, looking for jobs, but you know what? They still somehow, by the grace of God, make it. And we need to thank God for that. I'm not that emotional a person, but I'm going to tell you what, that song gets to me. Because if nothing else, we need to be thankful for Calvary. If we really got a hold of that thing, we'd have a running, slobbering, foaming at the mouth, spitting revival. I sure hope you're thankful. I am. I'm not as thankful as I ought to be. But I tell you, just God is good. All the time God is good. And God is good what? All the time. All right. Thank you so much, sister, for that song. I heard her practicing it when I came back from the back. And I said, boy, is she going to sing that? And that's going to be good. That's a good song. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me in Genesis chapter 19, please. Genesis chapter 19. I want you to look at verse 27. Last week we dealt with the subject of why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to learn or be reaffirmed in our hearts about some things today. We're going to see why Christians act like Christians and why there are people that claim to be Christians and they do not act like Christians. Let's begin with verse 27. I'm going to read down to verse 38, please. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain with his two daughters with him, and he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger rose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of Moab, of the Moabites, unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ami, the same is the father of the children of Ammon, unto this day. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to just thank you for general principle. I just want to thank and magnify you've been good to me, and I want to thank you for that. Touched my heart this morning, and Lord, I just want to give you praise. I just want to thank you for being good to me and my family. And we've been through some rough waters, but Lord, you brought us through, and you kept our head above the water. And Father, I want to magnify you, and I want to bless you, and I want to ask you to forgive me for my complaining and my griping, and ask you to have mercy and let me just bless the name of the Lord and say thank you. I pray you'll help us as we look into your word this morning and do a work in our hearts, please, through the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting parallel in these chapters between two people. One is Lot, one is Abraham. Let's look at some things this morning about, first of all, Abraham, and then some tragic things about Lot. Let's look, first of all, that we're going to see, first of all, that there is a remembrance that takes place. And this is in the story of Abraham in verses 27 through verse 29. First of all, I want you to see this. Verse 27 says, And Abraham got up early in the morning. Think about that, please. Early in the morning. You can pray anytime you want to, but I want to tell you something. The practicality of it is this. We need to pray early in the day. You know why we need to pray early in the day? Because we don't know what's going to happen this day. This morning, you thought that you were going to come to church. You're here. Praise the Lord. You don't know what could have happened. You don't know if a man or a woman did not pay attention on the road and pulled out in front of you and you had a head-on collision. You don't know that. When you go to your workplace, you don't know what you're going to meet on the workplace. You don't know who you're going to deal with on the workplace, and heaven forbid it to be true, but it is. You don't know how some of these people at the workplace may very well try to conspire to get you rid of your job. People can be ruthless. At the very least, unkind. Never understood that, but that's the way it is sometimes. And so it's a good thing, if we're going to have prayer, it's a good thing to start your day in prayer. Now granted, I don't know how long your prayer time's going to be, but you ought to pray sometime. If nothing else, if you have a pretty long commute to work, it wouldn't hurt you to get in your car and on the road, pray while you're driving. Better keep your eyes open. But I'd be going down the road and I'd be doing some praying and say, Lord, because you may not have time in the morning to do it. Especially some people have really long, early hours. You may have to get up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning and you're pushed and you
you don't have time to do what you'd love to do, you'd love to get your Bible and have your devotions. So somewhere down the line during the day, you try to maybe have your devotions, and that's good. But you better start that day. You better not get out out of that car door of your car and go into your place of business till you have some time with God. God, help me today. God, I do not know what's going to befall me today, but I sure need you to help me. There's somebody, Lord, that's trying to hurt me. Lord, would you go before me and protect me? David prayed that all the time in the Psalms. Nothing wrong with that. I know people, I had somebody tell me the other day that they were concerned because they had lost their job and they were apprehensive to ask people to pray for them. And I said to them, I said, how are we going to know you have a need if you don't tell it? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong whatsoever. We are commanded to pray one for another. There is a practicality in prayer, and I think sometimes we make prayer more mystical than it really is. Prayer, as Dr. John R. Rice said, prayer is asking and receiving. That's what prayer is. So we need to pray. Desperately, we need to pray. There's the practicality in prayer. He got up early in the morning, the Bible says. Then there's the position in prayer. Notice in verse number 27, it says not only is there the practicality in prayer, but there's the position in prayer, that there is a particular place in prayer. Look where it said in verse 27, where he stood before the Lord. See that? Look at verse 27. Where he stood before the Lord. Some people do not understand that prayer is asking and receiving and communicating and communing with God Almighty. And you might say, well, preacher, that's a given, isn't it? No, there are plenty of people. Do you remember the fellow in Luke chapter 18? The Bible says there was a publican and there was a Pharisee and they were in the temple. Do you remember this phrase the Bible said concerning the Pharisee that he prayed thus with himself? There are plenty of people that when they pray, they're just praying to impress everybody. They're not praying to touch heaven. They just want everybody to hear how beautifully they can articulate their language. And that's fine, and that's wonderful as far as they're concerned. But according to the Bible, they're not getting past the roof of their mouth. Prayer is when you stand before God. Prayer is where you clear everything out of your life for just a little while, and it's you and God. What an awesome thing to stand in the presence of God. That's what he's talking about. Not everybody that prays has that ability to stand in the presence of God. There's a particular place of prayer. He came to wherever that place was, and he stood before the Lord in prayer. Can I ask you a question? Do you have a place that you favor when it comes time to pray? Do you like, for instance, is your car time going to work and back your prayer time? Nothing wrong with that. Maybe you have a more relaxed schedule. Do you have a place in your home that you like to take your Bible and read your Bible, and then you have your prayer list, and then you begin to pray, and it's a very serious thing to you? Do you have a place in your home that you like to pray? Maybe you have a place at work. Maybe you have a break time. You use your break time to take your Bible. Maybe you have a little Gideon New Testament. Gideon New Testaments are perfect to put in pockets. They're the right size, and their typeface on Gideon Bibles are excellent. They're very easy to read. And so you reach up, get that little orange or red New Testament, you read a few verses, and you pray a little bit. You've got 15 minutes for break or something. That's your devotional time. I don't know. But the thing is, we need to have it. It's very important. To not have time with God is the equivalent of going through a day without a meal. Most of us have not missed a meal. And we need to spend time with God in our devotional time. Particular place of prayer, in his presence. That's very important, to go into the presence of God. And then when we do that, we need to wait for answers to prayer. Because that's why he's here. He spent some time praying, didn't he? he prayed to God concerning the deliverance of Sodom and Gomorrah. I ask you a question. You prayed specifically, and are you waiting for answers to that prayer? I used the illustration before. We pray, oh God, bless all the missionaries. Well, okay, if you pray, bless all the missionaries, are you waiting to hear some kind of answer to prayer concerning the blessing of missionaries? Or do you just take it generically? Okay. I read a missionary letter from Koi Shaw. They're going back to Brazil. Wonderful. Praise God. To a church that they started many years ago. We need to pray for them, God. He said he needed extra support, that he had lost some financial support. So what do we pray for Brother Shaw? We pray, God, bless Brother Shaw in such a way that he may get the needed finances to return and minister in Brazil. That specific prayer. Now we wait and we look. And we look in the mail or we look on the email and we see, did God answer this prayer? Is he going? When I read from Brother, I think it was Brother Starr, and his accident, different things, and how that the Lord was blessing. Many of you said amen. You know why? Because you remembered what he had been through. And we prayed for his needs. And so you know what you did? Whether you realize it or not, when I read the last letter, the update, many of you said audibly, amen, because you identified with that, and it was what? An answer to prayer. We need to pay attention. We need to pray specifically. That's what Abraham did. He prayed for the salvation, if you will, that God would spare Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, notice something else. Not only the practicality in prayer, the position in prayer, but then I'm going to use this word, the perusals of prayer. In other words, what was he looking for? What was he seeing? He perused the situation. What did he see? Well, the Bible says in verse 20, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the plain of the land, and beheld all the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of the furnace. I hate to say this, but that was the answer to prayer. You say, wait a minute. The city was not spared. They could not find 10 righteous people. But I don't know if you ever thought about that, about this particular thought. God still brought out 4 people. He didn't have to. The agreement was 10. And with not more than 10 people there, he destroyed the nation, but he had grace and mercy, hang on, not for Lot. Abel. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? All right, let's look. Verse 28, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Verse 29, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. Doesn't say anything about remembering Lot, does it? I want you to think about something that may never have impressed your mind or your heart. You mean business. You get down on your knees or wherever your prayer time is and you start talking to God. God takes favor of your prayers. Says so. God remembered Lot. No. God remembered Abraham. And he brought Abraham and he brought Lot, Lot's wife and the 2 daughters out, not for their sakes, for Lot's, for Abraham's sake. Remember what I talked about the other night? How that there are some people that are so full of God. I don't know if that's a good terminology, but I'm going to say it. They're so full of God. And oh, when they get ready to pray. When you watch them fall down on their knees, you know, dear God, you're going to come down. And he does. Some people couldn't touch the roof of their mouth, much less heaven. Abraham came before the Lord, and he came before the Lord in the right attitude and the right spirit, with a broken heart, with a contrite heart. And he came and he lifted up the petitions, and everything was right with this man of God because his heart was right with God. But now let's think for a minute about Lot. Let's think about that word look again. God looked toward, or Abraham looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, when he was at the tent back in the early days, the Bible says he looked and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Because the look of Lot was this. The look of Lot was a look of distortion. He saw something in Sodom that for whatever reason looked good. You know how many people have the look of distortion when it comes to the world? We're going to see something that's scary in this chapter. Because there are people we have young people in our churches, and they can't wait to get out from under mama and daddy. Why? Because they're tired of this. Tired of this. Tired of this. They're tired of this. And they sit in the pews and they're ready to get out because they think this is just a bunch of old-time fuddy-duddyism. I can't wait to get out those doors. I can't wait to go to college. And I can't wait to go out into the workforce because I'm going to live and I'm going to have fun. The whole problem is they don't understand. They're looking through the eyes of Lot and they're looking at distortion. The devil makes the world look wonderful and beautiful and glorious and glamorous. But when you get out in it, how many times have I heard young people say, oh, when I was a teenager, I just couldn't wait to get out of school and I couldn't wait to get away from my mom and daddy and get on my own and have fun and do my thing. And now they say, oh, if I could go home again. If I could go back to school again, go back to high school, where the only problems I had was whether or not I could do my homework and pass a math test. They go out there and they see the beauty of the world, but they don't understand that just like the prodigal son, what they see and what's really out there is distorted. The prodigal son, did he not come back weeping and crying and saying, oh my Father, I have sinned against heaven. The look of distortion in the life of Lot. Then there is the look of devotion from Mrs. Lot. They come out. The angels of the Lord told Lot and his family, do not look back. Lot, his wife, I guess doing what most people are, whatever you tell. Have you noticed some people, you tell something, don't do this, they're going to do it or break their neck doing it. That's where she was. She heard maybe the screaming, maybe she heard the explosion of the fire and brimstone, whatever it was. She turned around, and when she turned around, the Bible says that she was judged. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Someone said that she left the presence of Sodom, but Sodom never left. Her life was wrapped up in Sodom. I can imagine Mrs. Lot. I can imagine her going to social clubs. I can imagine her going to the cocktail hour. I can imagine, since her husband was an alderman at the gate, that she went to all sorts of charity events and she was a very important person. And she'd have the ladies come in and they would play Mahjong and all these fancy games. And everything was wonderful. And she loved it. She loved everything about it. And when that and as they were leaving, as that family was going out and she heard the screams and she heard the explosion, her heart was in Sodom. And she turned around. And when she turned around, the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. Why? Because her heart was in Sodom. You know why people come into the house of God? I've seen it here at this church. I've seen people come in this church and sit in these pews. And I know that you've seen this for years, but I've seen it since I've been here. In 3 years of being here, I've seen people come and sit on these pews. I've seen the Holy Ghost work on them. I've seen conviction. I've seen their eyes. I've seen tears. I've seen their eyes open. And I've given gospel invitations for them to come. And they resist the Holy Ghost. And when they do, the last amen is said, they head out the door. You know why? Because they love the world more than they love God. There is a price to pay if you're going to love God. And I watched them walk out that door. And I think to myself, you may never have another chance. There's a price to pay. She had more of the world in her than she had the desire to follow God. I mean, good gracious woman, don't you have any idea in your mind that you're being delivered from destruction, but you still want it? There are people with AIDS. There are grown men and women with AIDS that are professing homosexuals, and they love it and they want more of it. But they're dying with AIDS. They're alcoholics. And they drink and their liver's dying, and they've been given, the color of their skin is all yellow, and there's yellow jaundice setting in, and they continue, they're drinking. They want more of it. But they're dying. There are people who are drug addicts, and they're in hospitals, and their veins have collapsed. And they have to be fed intravenously. They have to get at least one vein operating so that they can get fluid in, because they've shot so much dope in their veins have collapsed. Their brains are burned out. But you know what? They'll look at you and their tears will go down their emaciated faces, and they'll say, someone has said sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you're willing to pay.
In Lot, there was a look of distortion. In Mrs. Lot, there was a look of devotion. In Abraham, there was a look of dissatisfaction. Don't you know it broke his heart when he saw the smoke? Have broken his heart. Let's move on. Notice also this, though. Notice the preeminence in prayer. There's the practicality to prayer. He rose up early. There's the position in prayer. He came to that place where he stood before the Lord. There is the perusals of prayer, that he is looking around and seeing what he can see. And then there is the preeminence in prayer. Look at verse 29. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. I think that's awesome. Because this, what was the most important thing to Abraham? Prayer. What was the most important thing to Lot? Lot. You know one thing you have to learn in the Christian life? Die to self. You know why we get all mad and upset? Somebody gets us all angry and upset? You know why we lose our temper? Because we feel sorry for ourselves. If you die to self, it's something. That means if somebody offends you, you've got to tuck it and go on. You can't let it affect you. It's dying to self. All you need
is one sharp, ugly word that you say to somebody and you've lost your testimony. Your testimony is worthless. God, today, help me die to self. Help me when somebody is trying to hurt me, help me to die to self. Help me not to attack and try to tear down, because they will not understand what they've done, but they'll understand what I'm doing. Help me to shut my mouth. I think that Abraham was surprised in the fact that he was not forgotten, because it says God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. And not only surprised in being forgotten, there was surprise in answered prayer, because again, his concern was who? His concern was Lot. That was his relative. That was his family. He wanted, he said, 10 righteous people. 10 righteous people were not spared. Therefore, the entire city should have been destroyed. And God said, for Lot, for Abraham's sake, I will bring out those closest to the heart of Abraham. Power. Power in prayer. That is the remembrance we're talking about. Notice the second thing. Let's move on to the life of Lot quickly, if I may. I want you to see some things you remember, may have never thought about today. Number two, there's a remembrance, there's a reduction. Lot. Why did he go to Sodom and Gomorrah? He sought riches. He saw the plain. Remember that? Pitched his tent towards Sodom. Saw the plain, that it was green and beautiful. And he heard the noises. And obviously he thought everybody's having a good time. The economy must be good. You know how many people in the Bible messed up because of the economy? Remember Elimelech and Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion in the book of Ruth? You know why they left Jerusalem? Because there was a famine. And they thought that they thought if they went to another city, Moab. We'll study about Moab in 5 minutes. But if we go to Moab, everything's better over there. Honey, ain't everything green on the other side? It may look it, smell it, and act like it, but when you get in the middle of it, it might eat you alive. He sought for riches. What did he settle for? After the destruction, he settled for rags. What did he take with him? I see no indication he took a suitcase. He took what was on his body. Not only did he seek for riches and he was reduced to rags, but then something else. He dwelt in a tent. Chapter 13, verse 12. I'll not turn there. Started out in a tent. Dwelt in a tent. Then he dwelt in a city, chapter 14 and verse 12. He was elevated to alderman. He was the big dog. He was in the city. He was in the world, and everything was looking great, and the money was pouring in, and everything's wonderful. But then he, look at chapter 19, look at this chapter we're in, look at verse number 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains with his two daughters with him, and for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave. Started out in a tent. He moved to a city. Wound up in a cave. Sin really will take you farther than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. Make you pay more than you ever wanted. He's lost his family. We're going to see that in just a minute also. Notice a third thing, not only remembrance and reduction, but notice a repentance. What's the difference between, I want you to think about this. What's the difference between Abraham and Lot? The difference between Abraham and Lot is that if you study the life of Abraham, Abraham was a man that got down before God and repented of sin. We'll look at the life of Lot. Lot never, one time, ever repented of sin. You can't go on the way you're going with unconfessed sin in your life and it not catch up. Now what do you mean by that? He went into Lot, and Lot went into Sodom, and Sodom got inside his family. Maybe not as bad as him. I don't know, but it sure got a hold of the rest of them, because I'm going to show you how. This is repulsive. Because the two girls, they get to talk. And they said, you know, our husbands stayed behind. And they're dead. And our mama looked back. She turned to a pillar of salt. She's dead. Only people left, Daddy, me, you. Two sisters get to talking about it. How are we going to have a family? Got an idea. I saw this on HBO the other night. Read it in a magazine. Saw it on a documentary. So we can get some wine. Let's get Dad drunk. First night you lay with him, then next night I lay with him. We'll get him so plastered he won't know where he is. And we're going to get pregnant by our daddy so we can keep the seed going. You know we're there today. If you don't recognize the scenario, let me give it to you this way. We have a goal, and the goal is right. There wasn't anything wrong with the fact those girls wanted their seed to go on and their name to be carried on. That's not a bad thing. The bad thing was how it came about. Do I say it? World looks at us about, and I'm going to say it again because it's in the context. Forgive me if you think I'm going overboard, but I want you to see it. Everybody says, well, we need to have a family. But again, God did not make Adam and Steve. God made Adam and Eve. If you want a family, that's nothing wrong with having a family, but what's wrong is how you get around to get there. Break the principles of God's Word. Wrong. Somebody said, well, I think that I have been cheated financially. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my money and I'm going to save my money. I'm going to put it away. And when things get a little better, I'll start tithing again to the church. Nothing wrong with having a financial cushion if you can get it. It's a problem how you get to that place. Well, I'm a secretary in my company. I keep the books. I need a financial cushion, so I'm going to take so much out, balance the books, get my cushion, and then once I get my cushion, I'm going to put money back and I'll get everything caught up and nobody will be the wiser. Ever heard that one? Only problem is I've seen these people on television that owe or have to reimburse for $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000. Somebody didn't want to quit. Nothing wrong with retirement. Be careful what you have to do to get it. Nothing wrong with having seed and having children and grandchildren. But heaven forbid, we're living in a day that is not any different than this. Turn on the news, turn on a movie, turn on a television show, and there are things that are going on. It's all right to have love, but you know what? It doesn't mean we have to get married. There's nothing wrong with going to the grocery store and shopping around until you start thumping those melons and find out, oh, this is a good one. Took me 10 to thump, but I finally got me one. Oh, yeah, how you going to get a mate? Well, I'm going to sleep with about 10 or 12 mates, and I'm going to see which one is the best, and therefore, then we'll get married. Doesn't work that way. Not according to that Bible. Every experience which Lot faces is characterized by lack of repentance. Lack of repentance results in continual sin. Two very great and grievous sins as described by the Bible is here, drunkenness and incest. Why did these girls do this? Because they had in them Sodom. Can I say something here that hit every one of us between the lines? Have you ever said this? Well, that was a good movie, you know, but I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't but about two or three curse words in it. Isn't it sad we even say that? I'm guilty of it. There's stuff you see on television. I always think about old Isaiah. I don't know why Isaiah in the Bible comes to my mind. If Isaiah were here and sat down 1 hour and watched the average television programs on TV, he'd be so irate, he'd get a stone and break the television. You know why? We've been accustomed to these things. Don't miss out. I'm not saying go get rid of your TV. Don't get rid of your... Because there's nothing wrong with the TV and there's nothing wrong with the internet. There's nothing wrong with movies. The problem is not the media. The problem is me and my control of the media. See? I'm the problem. You're the problem. We watch things and we say, well, maybe I can just get on by this. But you know what? But I'm like you. I bet you know you turned on something and there'll be something on and they start taking God's name and think, bam, 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 bam. Well, goodbye, click. Can't take just so much of that. These girls were formed in their character, a lack of character, by what they experienced when they went to high school. They went out on dates. Hung out with the dreams. We did Bible school yesterday, one day Bible school, Pastor David told her at the Tabernacle Baptist in Bassett. There was a girl there, she wasn't even 12 years old. She walked in, she had a black hat on, man's hat. She had on, just very much the fashion conscious stuff of the day. Oh my goodness, I don't know what lit her fire. But it did not matter what was said or done. She had an ATTITUDE, major attitude. And I mean to tell you, buddy, she's mean. And her grandparents had brought her to Bible school. You could see and watch her while we were doing our Bible school lessons all the time. You know when you get this, you know where it comes from? Ooh, she's not a happy one. You know what? Because somewhere out there, her heart had already been shaped and fashioned by the world. I got to talk about how the world is impressionable to young people. And I tried to talk about character traits and living for God and all of these things. Oh, God, the world was in her heart. She needed Jesus. Until she gets Jesus, she's going to be resistant and rebellious to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last thing, not only remembrance, reduction, repentance, but there's a reaping that takes place. Look at verses 37 and 38. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. Now I mentioned Ruth and Elimelech and Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion earlier. You know where they left? They left Jerusalem. You know where they went? They went to Moab. God put a curse on the Moabites and the Ammonites. God told the nation of Israel to have nothing to do with them. And when Elimelech and his family went to Moab, they disobeyed clearly the command of God. But here's the thing that's frightening. Verse 37, and the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites. Notice the next three words. Unto this day. Unconfessed sin bears reaping. Can you go to people that you know that they made a serious mistake in their lives, a sin if you will, and now their entire family is paid for it? Think about it. Oh, it happened. I know a woman that messed up with several men, the children out of wedlock. One child committed suicide and the other's been in prison. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, he shall also reap. Look at verse 38. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Ammon. Notice this. Unto this day. Unconfessed sin, unrepentant sin, can follow you until this very hour. You know what God meant for all Christians? God meant for every one of you and me to live a life of peace and joy and the fruit of the Spirit. But if we make wrong decisions, there are consequences to our actions. And those decisions or consequences may very well follow us to the grave. Do right, and the consequences may very well be fine. You say, I've tried to do right, I've tried to train my children right, I've tried to train my grandchildren right, and yet it hasn't worked. But if you've done everything you know to do according to the Word of God, then there's only one thing you can. You can go to bed with peace in your heart because you've done what's right. But you still do what Abraham did and you pray for him. Abraham was not necessarily satisfied with the answers of prayer here. He didn't want to see the smoke. Sure, he wasn't real happy about Mrs. Lot perishing. Probably was a little burdened that the in-laws, the two sons-in-law, died also. And I know he wasn't too happy with what happened right here in this story. But at least he said they're okay. They're alive. If only Lot could understand that principle of repentance. Lot, your life been a whole lot better if you hadn't strayed from the Word of God and if you'd repented of your sins and done right and come out of the world. But he's paying a price. He's paying a price. I would say to Lot, it's too late now, Lot, but you know what? You could have repented of this thing. Everything been all right at your house. But you didn't take the right stand. I wonder if Lot ever said, let's go to church. Because I bet you if he ever said, let's go to church, I bet you I know what the wife and daughter said. We're not going down that little Baptist church. They're not of our social status. I could hear the wife say that. I can hear the two daughters say, Dad, they don't like that rock and roll music down there. Did you know that preacher doesn't believe in social drinking? Why would you want to go there?
you understand what I'm saying? Let's just, you know, let's get past all of this stuff and let's just say, I'm going to follow the book. I'm going to follow the book. No matter what anybody else does, I'm going to follow the book. I'm going to do what the book says. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. I got to follow the book. Some of you know Brother Junior Haley. He's preached here before. Brother Junior's a rather husky fella. I was talking to him on the phone recently, just yesterday perhaps it was, and he said that he was getting ready to leave his house. He lives up in somewhere up in the woods up in Bassett. He lives in a single wide trailer, and he was getting ready to go out the door. And some of his buddies came that he had known from the past. Let me emphasize that, because Brother Junior's trying to live for God. Good job preaching the gospel. And he said, when I got ready to go out the door, I saw this car pulled up, and the car pulled up, and the way the car pulled up, I couldn't move my car. And he went out the door, he was dressed up for church, had his tie on, his Bible, and this young man, who, by the way, this particular young man claims that God's called him to preach. And he said, you know, when I... And so Junior looked at me and said, it's Wednesday night and I'm going to church. I don't know where you guys are supposed to be going. You're not dressed for church. Looks like, you know, you came out to hang out with me or something, but I got to go to church. And so, he said, and so the other fellow said, well, I forgot it was Wednesday night. He said, well, I need you to move your car. I got to go to church. And he said, I didn't mean to, Brother Moore. He said, but I made that fellow mad. But he said, he's just going to have to be mad. He said, because I wasn't going to stay there and just have a party just because they showed up at my doorstep. He said, I'm going to church. And he said, you know what? That's where he's supposed to be. Not trying to shoot scattergun stuff here. I'm just trying to show you how people's thinking is changed by the Word. Don't think it doesn't. Don't think it doesn't. Don't think it doesn't. It does. It affects our thinking. Two contrasting people here. Abraham, what a man of prayer. Those of you that are praying, we're praying for people, we're praying for souls, we're praying for revival, we're praying for God to move in our church in a mighty way. But you know something? Sometimes God answers prayer and we don't always understand how He does it. He doesn't always answer the prayer the way I wish He would. That's what happened in Abraham's life, was this wasn't the way he wanted this thing to turn out. He wanted that city spared, and God did not spare it, but God still answered his prayer and brought his immediate family, if you will, out. Then you got Lot, and Lot lived a life of unrepentance. Two different lives. We need to follow Abraham and follow his ways, because he's learned the hard way. You follow God, and it'll always be right. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you for your patience this morning as we've looked into this very weighty passage of Scripture. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll help us not to allow the world to mold us and make us, but help us, Lord, to let Jesus have first and foremost place in our lives. Help us to let the Bible be our roadmap, our guide, our direction. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and help us to give everything we've got, lock, stock, and barrel to the Lord. Follow the example of this godly intercessory prayer warrior by the name of Abraham. Teach us to pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 156. As we stand. those who come receive the Lord's tithes and offerings today.
Down here on the front of the offertory table, we have some flyers that Miss Donna and Brother Bill and all have fixed up for the Bible school, back to school kids Bible blast, 25th of August, 10:30 to 2:30. Chalk Talk Bible lesson, exciting fun, food, arts and crafts. Attendance of 55 or more result in water bombing the pastor. All right, so that's going to be on. So please get some of these, and if we run out, then I'm sure Miss Don and Brother Bill get us some more. But they're right down here, so please start. If you have not already done so, please talk to some families that have young people, and let's see if we can reach some folks and get them in. We had good attendance last year. Let's see if we can have another good one this year. Tonight, it's 5 o'clock. This afternoon, we'll be back in the book of Acts chapter 3, and then after the service tonight, we'll be having the Lord's Supper. So please remember and keep that in mind. All right, is there anything else I need to remember to we need to announce? Business meeting, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. If we can get one of our bank statements in the mail, hadn't come in yet, so we hope that we get in. That'll be Wednesday. Anybody else? Anything else we're forgetting? We are trying to work out a time. If anybody's interested in going to the sports lanes in Martinsville, Friday evenings, I think it's 6 o'clock, maybe it's 5 o'clock. Anyway, they have $2 for your shoes and then a penny a game. So that's my ballpark figure. I can afford that, I believe. And so this is a little get-together we want to have and get as many folks would love to go. If you'll let us know, we're trying to see how many is going to. Brother Julius is going to provide the van transportation to people that would like to go. So like to go. Yes, ma'am. Are we going to shoot for this Friday? Is that what we talked about doing? Okay, if you'd like to go this Friday, please let us know, okay? See Miss Darlene or Brother Julius or Miss Pam or myself, and we'll see how many would like to go. Well, but she's not probably 10 minutes from the place, so we can still go ahead and do what we have to do. All right, anything else? Any other? Choir practice. Choir practice. Right afterwards. Okay. Brother Julius, lead us in prayer. Camp meeting over at Victory Baptist starting tomorrow, 7:30 at night, 6th through the 10th. There's a list of different speakers every night. Get Brother Buddy to put that up. If you're able to go, I know that they'll enjoy having you. All right, have a good afternoon, and we will see you this evening.